Blog Talk Radio.
Turmoil fans, Sun Guy and QT back with you here on another Sunday. If you're looking for wrestling up here in our neck of the woods, you have many choices. PNPW running in Astoria, Oregon today. DOA in Portland, Oregon at Harvey's Comedy Club. And Blue Collar Wrestling like every Sunday at the North Portland Eagles in Portland. So find yourself a show. Go support it. Lots of wrestling up here today. QT, there was some wrestling yesterday. White Swan, Washington got their first ever big league wrestling show. It was their huge one-year anniversary show.
Whoa, the question that first pops into my mind is, what was the size of the crowd?
It varied by person, but I'd say the biggest guy was maybe 240.
What? 240, and was that Gregor Petrov who was there in White Swan?
Petrov might be around 240.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely a great show last night.
Oh, okay.
Lots of the top talent from the Northwest were in action last night. We saw the return of Ethan HD to the Northwest. And the heavyweight champion of Big League Wrestling retained his title. So lots of action. And QT, I believe our guest is with us. JT, Branham, are you with us?
I sure am.
Well,
how
welcome back to the show. And I believe QT is going to lead off on some questions for you today. So I'm going to put you in the hands of QT Vokes for a bit.
All right.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, JT.
How you doing, QT?
I'm doing pretty good. JT, Sign Guy just got back from a trip to Yakima, and he traveled all the way over the mountains to do so from the west side of Washington State to the east. And that's quite a road trip, which leads into the next question. What is the longest road trip you have ever been on? To wrestle our referee?
Well, I made a trip up to Toronto one year. There's an organization up there that a friend of mine ran, and it's since folded, but it was a great organization. That was about, 10 years ago. And that one, and then we went to New Jersey and New York for a convention of the Old Glory site, the ladies' site. I took a couple of the girls up there, and they were involved in some matches there. So that's about the farthest I've been.
Wow. All right. Now, do you come from a wrestling background in high school yourself? Did you wrestle in high school?
No, not at all. I just stayed home and watched a lot. My mother, my father, my grandmother was always a front row fixture at Dick the Bruiser's old shows here in Indianapolis. And, I guess it just kind of passed along to me. And, when my son was born, he got interested. So we went to a few shows. And then Dan Garza, Diamond Dan here in town, he had approached us and said that there was going to be training. My son was old enough, so that got us into it. I just kind of tagged along and then learned as they learned and eventually got trained to wrestle and all that good stuff. So that kind of put me in the middle of it.
Oh, okay. So you had a pro wrestling background before you became ref.
Pretty much, yeah, with the family.
Oh, very good. Okay. All right. What are some of the injuries that you have suffered?
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's see. had a broken, got an broken orbital socket in the eye. That came from a super kick. Broken tailbone that still has yet to heal. Broken wrist. Several bruised ribs. Dislocated elbow. And, well, a few more concussions than I'd like to remember. That, not that I can remember them all, but a few more than I'd like to remember.
Wow. Now, do you remember a player about 15 to 20 years ago that played in the NFL, Bill Romanowski?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's rumored that Bill Romanowski was probably on performance-enhancing drugs, and he ripped off the helmet of a teammate and punched him in the eye, and the guy suffered a broken eye socket, and this injury forced him to leave the team because of that injury, and he later won a $350,000 lawsuit against Romanowski because he proved in court that he was probably, well, he didn't prove, but it was ascertained that Bill was probably under the effects of road rage. You yourself didn't get a $350,000 settlement, did you?
No, to be honest with you, it was partially my fault. I didn't do what I was supposed to do as far as protecting myself, and I paid the consequences. So, you know, I took the blame for that. It just so happened that the person that gave it to me was Cameron Starr. So, you know, I've been a friend with her for a long, long time, and I just kind of pushed it off as something that happened.
Wow. Oh, boy. Cameron Starr, now she's a hard hitter.
Yeah, you don't want to take any of her forearms, that's for sure.
That's what I've heard. I've been advised to stay away from her forearms, and I haven't even met the girl. Yes.
Well, she retired about a year and a half, 2 years ago. It was, you know, she's tough and everything like that, and she never shows emotion. But there were some tears that day, and she retired after really a very good career. And, you know, she's missed because she helped out a lot with everything we tried to do.
Well, now, when she retired, did she leave her boots in the ring?
She most certainly did. Yep,
oh,
she left her boots in the ring, and she left her title belt in the ring because she was our ladies' champion in Circle City.
Was it a large title belt? Because I've seen some that are the size of hubcaps.
Well, let me put it this way. It wasn't one of the heart-shaped belts because she wouldn't have had it. It was a fairly good size, but it was for our ladies' champion.
Wow. All right. Okay. Now, JT, in what is fast becoming our third standard question of our format, can you tell us what your high school mascot was and what your high school colors were?
High school colors. I went to University High School in Bloomington, Indiana. They named it after Indiana University since it was right off campus. And our mascot, well, our team name was the Univees, and nobody ever knew what that was. So they just kind of created a mascot out of the blue. One year it was the Falcons. Another year it was a figure, just a muscular football player type figure. And there really was no set mascot or anything like that. Just kind of it was an experimental school for the students or the kids of the students at IU is what it started out as. And it ended up being one of the city schools that a lot of the young kids on one side of town went to. But no big story about mascots or anything. It's just, I remember it all. Red and white were the colors, same as IU.
Oh, okay. Well, I've seen some questionable Winter Olympic mascots that no one can quite figure out what they are. So your high school was in good company.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Now, JT, what is fast becoming urban legend is a match that you refereed. It was Stompin' Steve against one of my favorites, at least out here in the Northwest, Darth Carter. Can you recall this match, Darth Carter against Stompin' Steve?
I recall bits and pieces of it. Again, there's the concussions working. Stompin' Steve, he's something else. I know that I had been down there several times to watch him in practice, and he was one of those guys that was yet to find his potential. He was working on it, and he was close to it. And to referee a match, even if it was just him in it, got to really be on your toes with that, because he's so big that he just thinks he can push people around. All in good nature, of course.
What did you think of Darth Carter's lightning quick attack at the opening bell, and he ran towards Stompin' Steve in a good display of courage, and he flailed his arms against him, but pretty much to no effect, which surprised me. What was your opinion?
Well, after I stepped back and finished chuckling, and there was no offense, you know, but the sight itself was something that, if you didn't see it, it's really hard to explain it and to explain any feeling towards it. It was just one of those you had to be there things.
Well, I'd kind of describe it as a whirlwind attack. Yes, whirlwind.
Yeah, that would be just about right. Whirlwind, you could also describe it as a windmill, or a number of things like that.
Now, Darth entered the ring and was introduced to be managed by Northwest icon, the lovely Lila Lodge, and he had an 8x10 glove. But I'm not sure if it was in a hard guard or, you know, a holder or anything like that. My question is, have you yourself in person met the lovely Lila Lodge?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Many times. She came to Indianapolis several times when she was still out there out west. And then she moved down to, I believe she moved down to be around OVW for a while. And she would come up to the different shows up here and in the area. And yeah, met her several times. A very nice young lady. I wouldn't mess with her, but she's a very nice young lady and very, very capable in the ring. I kind of wish that she would get back in the ring, but I understand circumstances.
Now, she made a couple of trips out there to Indiana, as well as several other wrestlers in the Northwest. And vice versa, we've had several Midwest wrestlers come out here to visit the Pacific Northwest. So the exchange of wrestlers is starting to happen quite often. My question is, have you yourself ever been out here to the Northwest?
No, but I would love to come out there. I had a brother-in-law who lived out in Seattle. And he kept wanting us to come out and visit and wanting us to come out and visit. And we just never had the opportunity. But I learned all about the area out there when he lived out there. And my wife went to visit him a couple of times with our son. And from what the pictures that I saw and all the reports I got, it's a beautiful, beautiful area.
Yes, did your wife have a chance to stop in at Farmer's Market in Seattle? Farmer's Market.
Oh, yeah. They stopped in there, spent some time there, and took a lot of pictures that made me jealous.
Oh, okay. Did they include any of pictures with snow-capped mountains? Snow-capped mountains.
Yes. She got some good pictures. She also had come out there earlier on an Outward Bound trip. where it was for the ladies, and they went out on a boat for, I guess it was an entire week, and they camped on some of the islands and learned seamanship, and just a very, very good experience from what I'm told.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, JT, do you yourself have any plans to visit Japan, which is certainly a hotbed of wrestling? And I think also saw Bruiser Brody come out there also.
Yeah, that's one of the places I would love to go. You know, I caught some of their shows on cable a while back, and it looks like their fans are something else. Totally, totally different from what we see around here. But it looks interesting, and you know, that'd be one place I would love to go, just for no other reason, just to watch the wrestling.
Now, for some of our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners who might not be familiar with the Japanese crowd, can you describe the differences, say, between a typical Japanese crowd and an Indiana crowd?
Well, the Japanese crowd, you don't see them rushing toward the ring if there's somebody in there they don't like. They are very, very polite, almost to the point where you think they're bored, because they sit there. And then, you know, occasionally they'll react, but it's a different type of reaction from, well, anywhere around here, that's for sure.
Now, say if Darth Carter made a trip out to Yokohama, how do you think Darth Carter would be received out there? Would he be received with stunned silence, or would there be an uproar right from the beginning, like in his match with Stompin' Steve?
I think if he started out his match like he did with Stompin' Steve, there would be an uproar to begin with, and then I think they would, you know, sit back and see just what else was going to happen with him. I think they would be interested for sure.
Oh, okay, interested. Okay, that's a word I can go with. Yes. All right. Now, suppose, and this is really reaching for the stars, what if Cameron Starr were to come out of retirement, travel to Japan, and face Darth Carter in a ring? How do you think the Japanese fans would react to it? Cameron Starr, Darth Carter.
Wow. I would feel sorry for him.
Oh. Oh, hey, now you see, JT, I think you're underestimating Darth Carter a little bit. I've seen
it. Well,
I've seen, you know, out here in the Northwest, pretty impressive.
I've been on the receiving end when Cameron Starr has been mad, and what people never want to do is underestimate her in any way, shape, or form. Matter of fact,
okay.
I managed her for a while back in the early days when she first got started and I first got started. So I know quite a bit about the whole Cameron Starr attitude.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, have you had a chance to meet a lady from the Virginia area, Casey Carlisle?
No, I haven't. I've heard a lot about her, mostly from Sign Guy. But I would definitely like to see her and meet her. She seems like she's really, really talented.
She is, yes. And she's the bearer of several large title belts. Yes. I mean, very large title belts. You can
wow.
see these on the Sign of the Times. Yes. Are you aware of the weekly Sign of the Times that are published by Sign Guy?
I wasn't, but I am now.
Ooh.
That sounds great.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Well, I think we got a homework assignment for you to research some of the Sign of the Times. I'm sure Sign Guy will forward some of his favorites. Yes.
I will do that. And, you know, I have a long... I do have a good memory when it comes to people in the crowds, and I remember Sign Guy from a long time ago, back when he was holding those signs all the time.
Oh, very nice. Okay, yes. Well, hopefully he'll send some of the clips to you, and they'll include also a Northwest wrestler out here named Budget Deficit. Budget Deficit.
Oh, okay. Okay, that sounds great.
It's just that budget, the budget deficit is on the mind of a lot of American people right now, America's budget.
Yep, that's for sure. That is for sure.
Well, JT, what about the Cauliflower Alley Club? Have you ever been to the Cauliflower Alley Club?
No, to be honest, I was planning on going this year, and I have been planning on going for the past 3 or 4 years, but due to health issues and kind of thing, plus a new defibrillator, the doctor didn't want me to fly. So hopefully next year.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, I can see that. Well, now, JT, in hindsight, it may have been a good thing that you didn't go, because several people got sick from a buffet out there. It's true, a buffet.
Wow.
This year.
That's, kind of wonder about those buffets sometimes.
Yes. Yes. Boy. All right, JT. Well, it looks like they're signaling me to come in early to work. I am presently at my work site. I hate to cut this short, but I'm going to have to hand things over to my capable assistant, Sign Guy.
Well, it's been great talking to you, and hopefully to do this another time also.
Yes, yes. Maybe come back when I have a little bit more time and some more questions.
That would be great.
Okay. Good luck with your tailbone rehabilitation.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Back to you, Sun Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, JT Brenham, one of the things that you have on your docket coming up is the World's Finest Wrestling event coming to Connersville, Indiana. It's been a long time since World's Finest Wrestling has run an event, but they're returning finally. Could you tell us a little bit about what you have in store for the fans when you get to Connersville?
Well, it's going to be a great show. I mean, from top to bottom, it looks like it's going to be pretty solid. I know that it's going to be on June 9th at Expo Hall there in Connersville, which is on the fairgrounds location. And Cody Hawk, who's coming in not just to wrestle but to do a seminar. He's going to teach some of those who are being trained, have been trained, going to teach them a little bit more and try to help them out with their careers. So I know he's going to do about a 3-hour seminar there. It's going to be a show full of titles. We're going to have an 8-man tournament for the very first World's Finest Wrestling Champion. We have the likes of Isaiah, Apollo Starr, Cody Hawk is going to be in it, Donnie Idol, and it's going to be an 8-man tournament. They're going to do it all in one show, and then we're going to have, well, also in action, the Bomb Shelter is going to be in action. Looks like the tag team title is going to be up for grabs for the first time. Bomb Shelter, Simply Better, team called Youth and Experience, and another team, you know, I read this, right? It says Wet Dream. But, you know, it's going to be a great show from top to bottom, and what I understand, the tickets are selling quite briskly. So should be a good time.
For the people that aren't overly familiar with you, which people should get more familiar with you if they are not, you've done essentially every role there is to do in the business. You have been in-ring wrestling, referee, commissioner, general manager, ring announcer, promoter. You've done everything. What's in store for
yeah.
you at World's Finest Wrestling?
Well, I was asked, actually, I was asked right after the first of the year if I would want to come in and announce his first show. And I told him I would. I'd be more than happy to. So I am going to be the evening's announcer. And really looking forward to it. Know a lot of these guys on the card. I know the area of Connersville and the Expo Hall. It's a great location, a great venue for wrestling. They've been there before. Other groups have. But this time I think they're going to have to order some extra chairs because we've been getting a lot of responses from people wanting to come to the show.
Now, the ring announcer role is oftentimes not as appreciated as it should be. The ring announcer is usually the face of the company. That's who the fans see. It's where they get their information for what's happening on the show they're watching, how they can find upcoming shows. It's how they know who the players are involved in a show. Ring announcer is very vital to a success and often to a failure of a show. You're one of the better ring announcers out there that I've ever encountered. Do you think that enough promoters put a lot of stock into who ring announces for them?
I can tell you for a fact, yes. There was a recently a promotion around the area here. First show, and his first two or three shows, the ring announcer wore sweatpants and a sweatshirt. I mean, come on. You want to look professional? Dress professional and act professional. Don't come out in a sweatshirt and flip-flops. My first announcing job was 26 years ago, and it was for Circle City Wrestling and Mike Samples. And I learned a lot from Mike and the folks he had in there. Rip Rogers was one of them who was on the roster, Fleisch Flanagan, Vic the Bruiser, you know, a lot of folks there. I learned a lot from all of them, and announcing was one that I learned from Mike Samples and Bob Kindred, a good friend. And they always said that the announcer sets the tone for the evening because he is out there before anybody else. He has to look the part. He has to act the part. And he can't let it be all about him, not himself. It's about the wrestlers. It's about the organization. And it's about the fans. And I've brought that with me. I've tried to teach some of the younger guys. We've got some good up-and-coming announcers. You never hear anybody say that. You always hear them say, we've got some great young wrestlers coming up. But around the state, we've got some really good young announcers that want to make a name for themselves. And, you know, I've worked with some of them. I've been on shows with some of them. And, you know, we learn from each other. I learned there are some things that I do that are distracting. And they learn that there are some things that they do that try to make it about themselves. Now, for a little amount, yeah, you make it about yourself because you're drawing attention to yourself, especially when there are other things going on. But once that bell rings, it's about the guys wrestling. Nobody else. And then when it's over, it's about the fans, their reaction. They enjoyed it, keeping them fired up, reminding them where they can go get something to drink, something to eat, whatever. It's just the ring announcer, to be honest, is like a ringmaster in a circus. He brings everybody out, tells everybody who's who, what they're going to do, and then he steps out of the way. So that's, you know, that's kind of one of the big things I've learned over the years.
In addition to being a ring announcer and a referee and a manager and all the other things that you've done in the business, your son also followed you into the business, and he, like yourself, has been a jack of all trades. He's put on as many hats as you have. What's it like having a son that sort of mirrored you in the wrestling business and learned as many aspects of it as possible?
It's very flattering. I mean, I wasn't originally going to get involved. And I decided at one show that, you know, I would offer my help. Mike Samples took me up on it, and, you know, I went from there. With my son Matthew, he got trained, and he wrestles. He wrestles under a mask. I'll leave it at that. But he likes to announce, but he loves to wrestle. So he's gone a little different path. My few times wrestling, I think the best match I ever had was with TJ Kemp. And I was the terrible manager as usual, and TJ Kemp was everybody's favorite. And it was loser leaves town, and I got beat, so I hit the road. But it was a good match, and I enjoyed myself doing that. But I stick with announcing. There's not as much pain involved.
Now, speaking of pain, you and I both know that the sport's very physical. We covered some of the injuries that you've had. I've had an injury or two over the course of my career. But we've both seen a lot of people suffer injuries during the course of wrestling shows. What's some of the more frightening injuries that you've seen?
Well, I watched, there was one night that it was early in his career, but Dylan Bostic did a dive outside a ring in Shelbyville, Indiana. And I'm not sure exactly how hard he hit, but when he came down outside the ring, it was on a concrete floor to the side of his head. He shook it off. He got up and shook it off, but it looked really bad. I've listened to Cameron Starr's knees pop and crack and grind when she gets in the ring. That's from years of wrestling and doing what they all do in the ring. And with her, it's become, well, it was one of the reasons that she retired, because it was just getting to the point where it was bothering her so much that she didn't feel like she could put on the best match. And she felt it was time to rest. So that's what happened with that. But yeah, there are, the one injury that I remember specifically, I wasn't even there. I watched it on TV. And that was when Sid Vicious was in Indianapolis, and he jumped off the top rope and his leg snapped. That was not a pretty sight on TV, and I know it was worse in person. A lot of times the injuries can be prevented, but most of the time in the middle of a match, you do what you need to do or what you think you need to do, and it happens. And, you know, for the most part, everybody that I've ever talked to in these past 26 years have agreed, you know, sometime at some point, we're all going to get hurt. We just have to protect ourselves and make sure that we take care of business the way we know how, the way we're trained. So there's no easy match as far as accidents happen is concerned. It's just, you know, the crowd, they realize when something bad happens, and they offer the kind of reaction you would expect. They're quiet, they're concerned. They want to make sure that, you know, whether it's their favorite or not, they want to make sure that they're okay. So it's just, you know, I try not to focus on the accidents that have happened. You know, one of mine, the orbital socket was, yeah, it was basically my fault. I didn't do something I should have done to protect myself. The broken tailbone, when you get knocked off the side of a ring and land in a third row of chairs on your tailbone, it kind of does something to you. But, you know, if that's as bad as I've ever been hurt, I mean, considering all the wonderful other issues I've gone through in the past few years, nothing that's happened in the ring has been that bad to me. And everybody will tell you.
I'm right there with you with the broke orbital socket. It's not the best way to spend a day at the office.
No, not at all. I still feel a little crack in it. So but it didn't do anything to the damage or the eye. So, you know, we're good there. But, you know, I just, it was last year, I believe it was, I was fortunate enough to have gotten through most of the matches and everything unscathed, and I was privileged to have been inducted into the Indiana Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame as one of the legend, the legend category, and that probably is the biggest thing that's happened in these 26 years as far as it's involved with wrestling. It was a pleasure and unexpected honor, and you know, haven't always been the best guy, the good guy, but evidently it doesn't really matter if you're the good guy or not. It's what you do and how you do it. So it's all been fun, and it continues to be. And when it's not, I'll sit back and watch somebody else do it. It'll kill me, but I'll sit back and watch somebody else do it.
Now, we talked about the World's Finest Wrestling Show coming up.
Uh-huh.
Now, the promoter there seems to have a pretty good grasp of his market and trying to get a show together that will appeal to that marketplace. You know Connersville fairly well yourself, and since you've been around for as long as you have and you've been to a big part of the state of Indiana at one time or another for tons of promotions out there, do you see differences within the state as far as what the fan base is like and don't like? Do you see things that'll work in one town in the state of Indiana that doesn't work in a different town for whatever reason?
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of different things. When you get, like, around the Indianapolis area, some of the smaller towns around, not quite as far east as Connersville, but, you know, in some of the places that are close to Indianapolis, you get a lot of the same fans because they will drive. You know, they get the same fans in Shelbyville as they do here in Indianapolis. Same fans in Columbus. Same fans down in Seymour, down in Madison. A lot of the same fans will travel to see their favorite. Now, this time in Connersville, they haven't had wrestling there for several years. So the people are going to get used to it again. And I know for a fact, because I've talked to several, there are going to be a lot of people from the area that are going to travel over to Connersville, you know, especially with folks there that work around here all the time, like Poison Apollo Star, Donnie Idol. You know, they've got big followings. And they're going to be they're going to be there. If you go down to, Bloomington, well, that's a college town. And you're going to get a lot of the students that don't know quite what wrestling's about, but they know it's a good time. They've heard. So that's, you're going to get those students down there, but they're not going to follow the guys across the state. But a lot of the folks that wrestle around here, they travel all over the state. And a lot of people know them. A lot of people want to see them. They just kind of follow them. It's like following your favorite basketball team or baseball team, football team. You're going to go where they go, and you're going to cheer for all your favorites that are there. So and it changes. It changes. It seems to change throughout the season. Summer doesn't seem to be as popular a time for people to go to wrestling shows as, let's say, October, November. They go, if there's nothing to do outside because it's cold, so they go, they keep warm, they get fired up, they watch their favorite wrestlers. So, yeah, it's different areas. The crowds are different, but they all turn out by the end of the night to be the same. They love what they see, and they're going to yell and scream and have a good time.
And you talked about people having a following across the state of Indiana. A lot of promotions will do different things with the same wrestler. What a guy does in one promotion, say, in the southern part of the state may be completely different from what he does in the central part of the state, just because of how the promoter chooses to use him.
Right.
Would you say that as far as the fans go, they're willing to accept a different character aspects of the same wrestler? Do they just want to see that guy, or do they get attracted to a certain persona or a certain aspect of that guy and try to follow that?
All of the above. Because, I've seen people that, let's take Poison Apollo Starr, for instance. He comes up here, everybody loves him in Indianapolis, and he can go to Shelbyville, and the last time they saw him in Shelbyville, he was beaten on one of their favorites. So, it's iffy. I mean, yeah, they'll follow their favorites, but they won't always cheer for their favorite. It just depends on where it is and how his persona is that night or that day. But a lot of people have told me that they do follow it for the individual. And they don't care if he's hated by everybody else or if he's loved by everybody else. They're going to stick with him. Which is, I guess, one of the best things to have going. A fan that sticks with you no matter what.
I understand Dice Man has a pretty dedicated fan that would follow him to the ends of the earth.
He has a couple of them. Yeah, Dice he's one of those guys that you don't know how to take him. He might be the nicest guy that very few people see, or he can be the biggest SOB that ever set face on the earth. And I guess that's what makes him who he is. It's one of those things, people love to hate him. And, yeah, he has a following. There's no doubt about that. Haven't talked to him for quite a while. I know that, he's having some personal issues right about now. But would love to see him come back for, something. Just to be in the arena I think would really make a lot of people happy. Hopefully, he can work something out where he comes back up and visits those who were his fans and gives the people that weren't his fans a lot of hell. But, yeah, he's one of those guys that absolutely love to hate. And I don't think that'll ever change.
I would concur with you 100% there.
Looking at the landscape of world's finest wrestling, they have something very special for their card coming up in June. Donnie Idol is making his in-ring return. He was attacked several months ago at Emerge Wrestling, another promotion that you're affiliated with in Columbus, and he's been out of the ring. He did a guest referee spot or two, but hasn't wrestled since the attack. He's making his way back into the ring in Connersville. What's your opinions on how Donnie Idol will fare when we get to Connersville June 9th?
Well, I'm a member of the Emerge Board of Directors, and we've urged him to take as much time as he needs. I know that, occasionally he still has some aches and pains. That's going to be normal. But we're kind of worried that there's going to be some kind of attack on him there. And I know we probably shouldn't, because I know that Keith has got some really good security folks. And we're watching out. We're going to be watching out closely. And I don't know. Donnie, the way he went after who he thought was Ricky Rockus at the last Emerge show, kind of scary. He had a look in his eye that, I've known him for a long time, and I don't think I've ever seen a look quite like that. He went around and over five security guys that night because he thought Ricky Rockus was in the building. And I don't know. I'm a little concerned for him myself. I know that he'd say that there's nothing to be concerned of. He's going to be focused on his match. But he's in the eight-man tournament. And that's going to be a big one. So I'm just wondering if he can really focus on the tournament while he's got this other thing going on away from that. I really don't know. I am concerned, though, and I think Casey Johnson, we talked about it, and there is a lot of concern, with everybody involved. But who knows? Donnie's he's come back from worse things, so maybe our concerns are just a waste of time. But I know that we're all going to be keeping a pretty close eye on him to make sure that he stays with what he's supposed to be working on or concentrating on and doesn't let any outside issues get in the way. But, that's Donnie. You can't tell him not to do something because he's going to do it whether you want him to or not. So we just have to hope for the best and I guess we'll see what happens on the night.
I've known Donnie since before he began his career. You've been around him pretty much his entire career. I've teamed with Donnie Idol. I have wrestled against Donnie Idol. I know he's taken a lot of punishment in the past. He's come back from a lot of things. There's been nights where he could barely move walking into the building and he would go out and deliver one of the greatest matches you would ever want to see. But after what happened at Emerge, and having been out so long and having his body go through so much over the last 15 years, do you think that we're going to see the same Donnie Idol that we're accustomed to seeing at World's Finest Wrestling when we get to that tournament on June 9th?
Well, that's something that we talked about as well. You know, what happens if he gets in a situation where, and you know, his neck was the worst hurt of everything, I think. And what happens if they concentrate on his neck? How long is he going to be able to take that? Is he going to be able to just push the pain aside, or is there going to be more damage done, something that'll keep him out of wrestling for the rest of his life? It's one of those things. He says his doctors say he's okay and he can start wrestling again, but I don't think they meant something as brutal as a tournament like this. I'm just really not sure. That's why I'm concerned, because this is one of those times when, yeah, I know he's come back from a lot, and I know he's a tough guy, but, you know, how much more can he take? And like I said, we're going to be watching close, and, you know, we just have to see what happens that night. I honestly don't know what to think about it. Except, as I said, we are concerned. So, you know, I don't want to see him get hurt anymore. He loves what he's doing, and I don't want to keep him. I don't want to be the one to tell him he can't. If he feels like he can, and he says his doctor says it's okay. So, you know, that's all we can go by. So we'll see.
Absolutely. Hopefully he will come back and be the same Donnie Idol that we've enjoyed the last 15 years or so. We're getting down to the last few minutes of the show today, so I want to give you the last few minutes. If there's anything that you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you got, the social medias, the upcoming appearances, merchandise, your favorite dry cleaner, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
You know, I've learned one thing in the past 5 years, because you know what my health situation's been like. Faced with cancer, and then the chemo caused some heart issues, and got a wonderful defibrillator on top of that, and lost a kidney in the whole thing. But the main thing I focused on was trying to be positive, have a positive outlook. The doctors were amazing. The support group I got from the fans and my friends and family was what helped me get through it. The doctors were guided, you know, in everything they did for me. And as of right now, 100% cancer-free. They don't see that there'll be any relapse or any return. The defibrillator's still working because I'm sitting here talking to you. And you can live without one kidney. So I have been totally blessed to have been in this business for 26 years, and I'm going to keep going as long as I can walk. And the doctors told me that if I keep up with what I'm doing now, I ought to be as old as my dad, and he just turned 95. So I'm in it for the long run. Everybody else, just stay positive. You know, keep positive thoughts. Get yourself a good support group. And support indie wrestling, wherever it is.
Well, looks like we lost JT Branham, so hopefully he was finished. But I want to thank JT for being on the show today, one of my favorite people in the world. Always an absolute pleasure not only to have him here on our show, but to see him in a locker room whenever I get the chance. Always a treat to see him. If you're on a search for some pro wrestling, make sure you find JT Branham. He goes to a lot of different shows all across the state of Indiana, so keep an eye out. If you're from there, you most certainly has seen him at some point in time or another. He's worked for almost everybody you could think of out there. So, once again, thank you for joining us to JT Branham, and we will be back with you next week, next Friday, our tribute to the World Wrestling Federation. So make sure you join us next Friday afternoon, and then a week from today, Joseph Schwartz makes his way back to the show for the first time in a few months, one of the Bomb Shelter, who will also be at the World's Finest Wrestling event June 9th in Connersville, Indiana. So make sure you tune in for that, and we'll talk to you next week.
I believe in faith, and I believe in